1 Kings chapter number 18. We're going to continue preaching through the life of Elijah. And the special this morning, Sister Jenny sang, and then the young people tonight, I appreciate that they're carrying the theme of the month, and that is this matter of thankfulness. And that stirs my heart, and it's good for our church. And yes, we ought to be thankful, folks, 12 months a year, 365 days every year. But you know what, folks, I just think in November, hey, let's just hunker down and let's just do a little extra praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for how good he's been to each and every one of us. What a blessing that was. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to go down to the end of the chapter. We taught Wednesday night on the contest on top of Mount Carmel, and that concludes in verse 40 with Elijah slaying the prophets of Baal down by the brook Kishon. And we're going to begin then in verse 41 and read down to the end of the chapter, 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Heavenly Father, thank you for this incredible story. Lord, a little glimpse into the prayer life of Elijah. And Lord, as we take a look at this prayer, and Lord, this man of prayer, we put it under the microscope a bit tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we want to grow in all areas of our Christian life. Lord, I don't think the folks would be here tonight if that wasn't true. I think it's the heart's desire of God's people to want to grow in every area of our Christian life. And Lord, I don't think there's a one that's here tonight that thinks that they have arrived when it comes to this matter of prayer. So Lord, as we learn from Elijah, help us to be better. Help us to be more effective, more fervent, more earnest in our prayers, Lord, and more effectual in our prayers. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to look back and review a little bit about the prayer that started a drought, and then we're going to look and examine the prayer that ended a drought. And folks, this prayer that Elijah prayed for 42 months, God listened and God heard and God honored that prayer. And at the end of 42 months, another prayer was prayed. And you know what? God opened the windows of heaven and broke the drought, and there was an abundance of rain. And Elijah, as we're going to see in the book of James, certainly is lifted up to us as an example of a man, I want to say this again, like passions as we are. Folks, these aren't some kind of superheroes. These aren't angels that have come down to earth. These are men in the Bible and women in the Bible that are relatable to us. They're human like we are, and yet they learned some things about God, and they learned some things about the power of prayer that allowed them to accomplish some things and see some things. And I don't know about you, when I read these stories, it makes me hungry to want to see God answer some of my prayers and God be involved in some things that'll help turn this country back to God. And I probably will forget if I don't say it now, but folks, listen to me. I know this has been a week, and we prayed a lot, and a week where I think most of us here are happy with the results of our presidential election. And I don't know all that went into it. You know, they've spent a week on all of the news broadcasts. for a broadcast. I mean, you can go to all the different channels, and there's somebody telling you a reason why Donald Trump won and some reasons why Kamala Harris lost. But I think maybe when we get to heaven, we may just find out that, you know what, maybe American Christians finally, come on now, finally decided to get a hold of the Lord and ask for a little reprieve and ask for a little space of grace and ask for God to stem the tide of evil just a bit. And folks, I'm not sure that there's going to be anybody on any of the news networks that mentions prayer, but I just wonder, your preacher last Sunday night, come on, think about this, said, folks, would it hurt for us to miss a meal or two on Monday? Would it hurt for us not to spend some time in fervent, effectual prayer? We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I think God wants to hear our prayers, and God wants to answer our prayers. Okay, folks, so let's not stop praying for America. Okay, let's not stop praying now, amen. Now, let's do a little bit of review. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 17, and we'll go back to where we started. When we begin to teach about Elijah, this is the first mention of Elijah in verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, he makes that announcement to Ahab. Now, what we do not have record of, but we know that happened because of what's written in the book of James, is that prior to this announcement, Elijah prayed to God and asked that the rain be turned off. And so this is the first mention of it. Again, I don't know how serious Ahab took this. I mean, here's a man he'd never maybe even heard of before, a man that came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden he comes before the king, makes this announcement, turns around and walks out. I'm not sure King Ahab didn't look over at the court, look over at Jezebel, and maybe they all had a good laugh and thought, who was that nut? Well, he's about to find out who that nut was, amen, because that man wasn't a nut. He was a prophet sent by God Almighty, and he prayed. And he prayed. Now, if you go chapter number 18, now, folks, fast forward 42 months. Come on, 3.5 years later, guess what? Ahab's taking it serious now. Notice verse number 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. I will send rain upon the earth. And God announces to Elijah, it's time. It's time for you to go meet Ahab, and I'm going to end this drought. Now, in the meantime, between that and when we get down to the end of the chapter, we have this great contest on top of Mount Carmel. And you know what? The people at the end of that, they all cry out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And we had some fun with that and teaching that last Wednesday night. But now it's time for the rain. In verse 41, chapter 18, verse 41, we read this. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And so there's the announcement. He was told in verse 1 to go meet Ahab. He was told that God said, I'm going to send rain. And then Elijah makes the announcement to Ahab that there is going to be rain. And then if you look down in verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And so we had the beginning of the drought because of Elijah and what he prayed according to the will of God, according to the word of God. And then the word of God came to him a second time, and he said, okay, I'm going to send rain. But you know what? God said it would be in accordance to the prayers of Elijah. And so you'll notice, we'll point this out, this rain did not start till Elijah began to pray. And we'll look at that prayer. Now, we've looked at what the Bible says back in 1 Kings, and mark your place there because we're going to come back to it. But folks, we need to go to James chapter number 5, and we'll learn a little bit more about this prayer. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look and watch Elijah pray, But, you know, one of the things that is helpful, remember your preacher says this, and it wasn't original with me, but the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And before you draw conclusions or teach on any subject in the Bible or story in the Bible, sometimes you'll find part of it in the Old Testament, the actual story, but you'll also find references to that story in the New Testament that a lot of times will give you added information, and it shines a brighter light on the truths of God's Word. That's why we want to make sure that we rightly divide the Word of God. I often say, before you speak with authority on any subject, make sure you've studied all that the Bible has to say about that. And here we are given more information, James chapter 5 and verse number 16. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Then we have this statement, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, and by the way, that's Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now again, I said there's no record of his prayer that turned off the rain. But does the Bible say that he prayed that there be not rain? Does it say that he prayed earnestly that there be not rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months? Say, preacher, where did you get 42 months? Because back there it just says in the third year. Again, if you study all that the Bible has to say about it, God gives you added information. And that's how we know it was 3.5 years. And then verse 18, and he prayed again. Okay, stop. There was a prayer that shut down the rain. And then there was a prayer that's about to cause the rain. And we know that it's God in heaven that shut it down and God in heaven that turned it on. But he did so in accordance to the prayer. Come on, the prayer of one of his men. So think about that. And it says in verse 18, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so we see that a little bit more information about prayer. Now, I want to take this prayer, and I want to take, we'll stay in James chapter 5 for a few minutes, and we'll go back and we'll end our message tonight on prayer in 1 Kings chapter 18. But think about this, folks. What kind of prayer? Here's some questions for us. What kind of prayer can prevent it from raining for 3.5 years? 3.5 years. Folks, we got a little rain last night. We got a little rain this morning, you know, and we needed it. You know, we've had just a little bit of rain over the past week or so. But you know what? Prior to that, you know, it had been several months since it had rained here. But it hadn't been 42 months. Right. You know, we go 2 or 3 months without much rain, and we start looking around at each other, and it begins to take an effect and a toll on people. And yet I think for 42 months, 3.5 years, it did not rain. It did not rain. Think about that. What kind of prayer can prevent it from raining for 3.5 years? And then let's get to the other end of it. What kind of prayer can turn a cloud the size of a man's hand into a torrent downpour? Well, I think I want to take a look at that kind of prayer and learn some things tonight. Let me give you several things, all right? Number one, a prayer. What kind of prayer does this? A prayer that's prayed within the will of God. A prayer that's prayed within the will of God. Folks, let's not ever take out the will of God. You know, when Jesus went to Gethsemane, he prayed a prayer. And boy, it was a serious time. And it was, you talk about a fervency of prayer. When a man is praying to the point where he's sweating great drops of blood, I'm going to tell you, that's earnest, intense prayer. And he said in that prayer in Gethsemane, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But I want to remind you, the example of our Savior, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And folks, I just want to encourage you, you know what, you're wasting your time if you're praying outside of the will of God. Outside of the will of God. If you're praying for something that's not within the will of God, you're wasting your time. And if you're praying for something that is contrary to the Word of God, come on, we ought not to ask God ever to violate His Word. And we ought not to ask God to ever violate His will. And so, you know, one of the things that Elijah did, And one of the reasons I think he saw the answer he did was when he was praying, he knew that what he was asking was within the perfect will of God. It was God instructing him. It was God telling him what he needed to pray. And so always pray within the will of God, okay? Listen, there's nothing me and you can do that would improve on the will of God. I mean, whatever God wants is going to be the best. Whatever he wills, I don't want him to change anything according to his perfect will just because it may inconvenience Jerry Ross a little bit, or it may make my life a little bit harder. You know, may we say what Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. So pray, folks, and live within the perfect will of God. Number two, this was the prayer of a righteous man. That's what the Bible says there. Verse 16, the end of verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Preacher, I wish that I had the prayer life of Elijah. I wish I had the prayer effectiveness of an Elijah. Well, let's learn some things, okay? He was a man of like passions like we are. And so he had his faults and you know, he had his doubts. And we're going to study probably Wednesday night. You know what? There were times when he doubted and when he lost faith and when he went through depression. And he was just like any of us, okay? But let me say this. When he prayed, he made sure he went before God with clean hands. With clean hands. You know, folks, the Bible tells us several times in the book of Psalms that as we pray, we ought to be able to lift up holy hands before the Lord. And that's possible because of Jesus Christ. That's possible because of 1 John 1:9. That's not possible. Listen, it's not made possible because we're perfect. It's possible because God is a forgiving God. And I mentioned a few minutes ago, we were preparing for the Lord's Supper. And I encouraged you, hey, this ought to be a time of self-examination. You say, well, preacher, I didn't come in here feeling like I was in a good place with the Lord. I'm not sure I should take communion. And again, folks, listen, I just want to remind everybody, let a man examine himself. I don't want anybody decide at Blessed Old Baptist Church, you're the one that needs to be peeking around at during communion, deciding who you think ought to be taking communion and who you think ought not to. If you're that person, you got some sin of your own that you need to take care of. I'm not sure you should be taking it, amen. But the honest truth is, you know, you may say, preacher, I came in and man alive, I've been struggling and I don't, well, you know what? Aren't you glad you can just, in sincerity, come on, folks. If you're sincere, there's not a Christian in here that can't bow their head and say, Lord, I'm kind of a mess right now. I'm just kind of a mess right now. But Lord, you know how to take messes and clean them up. And dear God, I want to come in obedience. I want to come in sweet remembrance of what your son did for me. And Lord, forgive me of this and forgive me of that and cleanse my heart. Search me, oh God, know my heart. Didn't we teach on this in our adult Sunday school class? Psalms 139, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. And if whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance, confess it. Come on, confess it and ask God for forgiveness. And you know what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm sure glad God hasn't ever listened to me. Watch this. I've had to go to him thousands of times and ask for forgiveness. And not one time did he say, sorry, Jerry, you know what? You just reached your limit. I only had so much forgiveness set aside for you. And guess what? You maxed it out on the last sin. So you know what? I just don't have anything left to give you. I can't offer you any hope or any... You know, God, oh my goodness sakes, the mercy of God. Come on, folks, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. Oh, listen, he's never going to run out. Now, we may decide that we're not going to humble ourselves and go and get things right. And you know what? That's on us. But if we do it, you know what? He's faithful and just. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, folks, remember this. Psalms 66, the prayer of a righteous man. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And this whole idea of thinking that we're just going to live in habitual sin. Come on. We're going to walk around with a terrible, wicked attitude, and we're going to walk around with bitterness in our heart towards people and an unforgiving spirit. And we're going to, come on, we're going to sneak around with our little secret sins. And then anytime we want God to do something, boy, we're just going to bow our head and God's just supposed to come running. You know, we ring the bell and he comes. Well, we got this thing. We're not looking at this biblically if you think that that's going to work long term. Listen, Elijah was a man of like passions, which means at times he's a mess. And you know what we're going to see next Wednesday night? He's kind of a mess in chapter 19. But I'm going to tell you this. He stayed right with the Lord. He stayed right with the Lord. When he messed up, he wasn't too proud to admit it. Okay, you know what? He didn't sneak around behind God's back. Come on, I don't understand people come to church on Sunday and then spend Monday through Saturday playing footsie with the devil. You know, are we just playing at this church thing? Are we just playing at this Christian life? Because I feel like a lot of Christians just playing at it. I mean, they're just kind of playing at it. Hey, why don't we decide to get real? Why don't we decide to really get right with the Lord? And you know what you see as a result of that? Man, alive, even people like us that are a mess can still go to a wonderful God and see God answer prayers in a miraculous fashion. Boy, that gives me hope. That gives me hope. Now think about this. We're just talking about, let's just see what James chapter 5 has to say here. So a prayer, what kind of prayer, preacher, turns off rain for 3.5 years? And what kind of a prayer can turn a cloud the size of a man's hand into a torrential downpour? A prayer prayed within the will of God, a prayer of a righteous man. And then we have these two words of folks in verse number 16, the effectual fervent prayer, effectual and fervent. Now, what I'm going to teach you next is so important. Please listen to me, okay? What does that mean? That means effectual fervent prayer means active and powerful. And we're going to see this played out in the story when we go back here. Active and powerful prayer, active and powerful prayer. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So folks, there's different, let me just say this. There's different levels of intensity to the prayers that we pray. Now let me give you some examples, okay? And I think if you think about this, you'll say, yeah, preacher, I can see that. Folks, listen to me. I believe that there should be an intensity to our prayers. Our prayer life should be active and our prayer life should be powerful or mighty. Now, watch this. This kind of prayer characterizes closet prayer. Active, powerful prayer is the character traits of closet prayer. Now, preacher, where are you getting that at? Stay with me. Listen, I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad we can pray anywhere. Come on, anytime. And we can even pray while we're doing other things. And hey, I'm glad I can drive down the road in a car and still pray to the Lord. I'm glad that, you know what, I can be out soul winning, knocking on doors, and in between knocking on doors, I can pray to the Lord. You know, I'm glad I can be in my garage sometimes trying to fix something, about to pull my hair out. I've already thrown tools all over. I'm so aggravated. And finally, I get out. Come on, I'm in the flesh, and I stop, and I bow my head and humble myself in the middle of working on a tractor, working on a truck. We can stop and just say, Lord, I need your help right now. And amazing how sometimes that turns the tide, and we stop and we figure some things out. We're able to get it done. And there's nothing wrong with praying, listen to what I'm going to say, while doing other things. But I also think that we cannot pray effectually and fervently, think about this, until we focus our full energy and attention to prayer and prayer alone. So there are times when we're praying while we're doing. Come on, we're praying while we're busy. We're praying while we're driving. But I'm not sure if it's effectual, and I'm not sure if it's fervent, and I'm not sure it's the kind of prayer that really gets God's attention at an intensity level, come on, that causes a man like Elijah, who prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And then we're going to go back and see the prayer in just a minute of the type of prayer he prayed to get it turned back on, folks. And it wasn't, "Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul is clean." So he wasn't strolling through the woods, and he wasn't in a chariot on the way to Jezreel praying. You know what? He was up at the top of Mount Carmel on his face, on his knees. There was nothing going on but prayer. And again, I think those are two different things. I'm glad that God hears my prayer, you know, while I'm doing things. Sometimes I can't stop what I'm doing. I need to pray. I was thinking that shortly after I became youth pastor here, we decided to take all the teenagers and down to Blue River to go canoeing. And we went down there and we took a busload of teens and we had this big event planned. And you know, several of couples in our church went with us and we wanted to make sure we had plenty of chaperones. When we got there, they almost canceled it. They'd had a bunch of rain the previous few days. They're like, "We're kind of on the border. We don't know if we're going to be able to send you or not." And I don't think they should have. I'll be honest with you. 2.5 hours later, I was convinced it was a bad idea that they sent us. But they did. And we put these teens in the canoes and they took off, and I'm watching the water and it seems like it's pretty high and it's racing pretty good. And I thought, well, you know what, you know, they're in God's hands. Good luck. And, you know, and so we send all the teens one at a time, you know, one boat at a time, boat after boat after boat. And me and my wife get in a boat, and some of our other chaperones, I don't know if you two are with us too, Brother Jack, Sister Penny was with us, and I remember David and Jessica was with us, and we're just, you know, bringing up the rear, following behind, and all of a sudden, I mean, we didn't get no distance down the river, and I come around the corner, and there's a canoe upside down on the bank, and girls hanging off of trees in the middle of the, I'm not kidding you, our young people hanging off of trees. And boats turned over, and you know what? Man, I look at Brother Jack and Sister Penny, and they go one direction trying to rescue this person. I go, and we no more get them straightened out and back in their boat. We come around another corner, and there's other teenagers that have fallen out of their boat. And I mean, for 2.5 hours, folks, it was literally rescue 911 again and again and again and again. I remember Amy Liffick was stuck in the middle of the river hanging onto a tree, and David and Jessica went by and they said to Amy, "When we come by, they're coming. When we come by, you got to let go and you got to grab our hand. We'll get you in the boat." And they went by and she started to, then she got scared and didn't do it. And David had to paddle against the current and get back above her. And he went by a second time and she almost did it and she didn't. And he was telling me this later. And he said, you know, brother David, you know, not exactly the patience of Job sometimes. And he finally fought himself. He said, "Jerry, I'm fighting myself upriver, and I'm like, I don't have any more strength. I can't do this again." And he got above her and he said, "Amy, I'm coming by you this time, and you're gonna let go and you're gonna grab a hold of my hand, and if you don't, I'm gonna leave you and you can drown." Well, it scared her bad enough that guess what? When he went by that last time, she and I mean, we did this. I'm not kidding you. How many of you were on that trip? Any adults that were still alive that's here today that's on that trip? And I mean, for 2.5, almost 3 hours, that was it. Now, folks, I would have loved to have been able to say to Jack and Penny and Dave and Jessica, "Hold on a minute, folks. What we need to do is we need to come over here to the bank and we need to just have a little prayer meeting, you know." Listen, sometimes you got to pray while you're paddling the boat. All right. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying I'm glad that God allows us to holler out for help when we're right in the middle of something. But I don't think that we should live all of our prayer life like that. I think that part in the Bible that says, "Hey, you know what? You go and you pray in secret. And come on, you close the door of your closet. You pray. Listen, where you're doing nothing else but praying. You're focused on, listen, we're going to get to the top of that mountain, I promise you." He wasn't doing anything else, but he was praying. This was effectual. This was fervent prayer. And then it was a prayer of importunity. When we read the portion of Scripture, we're reminded that he didn't pray one time and get an answer. He didn't pray two times and get an answer. You know, he sent that servant 7 times up to the other side of the mountain to look over at the sea to see if there... He prayed 7 times. Now, think about that. Importunity is one of the most important things you can learn in your Christian life. Let's go, if you will, to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Let's read just one of the parables that Jesus gave us on this matter of prayer and importunity. Preacher, I don't even know what that means. Well, hang on. Let's look at what the Bible says. And then I think once we read the parable, you'll have a good understanding of it. And so in Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 5, notice Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And this is Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is coming to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer, saying, trouble me not, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. Here's the word, folks. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And he say unto him, unto you, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Well, preacher, how many times should I ask? Ask until it's given to you. How long should I seek? Seek till you find. How long should I knock? You knock till the door opens. And one of the things we learn about Elijah here is he didn't pray one time, not get an answer, and just quit. He didn't start it that way because the Bible says he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. That means he spent some time into it, folks. That means it was more than just one time, one prayer. And you know what? If you want the miracles of the Lord, you know what? You have to learn importunity. Preacher, what is importunity? Well, here's a man that had a friend come at midnight, an unexpected guest. And by the way, hospitality in the Jewish culture was a big deal. And for you to have a guest come and you not feed them and treat them well and treat them right and take good care of them, that was a shameful thing. And he went into a panic. Unexpected guests came at midnight. Stores are closed. I don't have anything to set before them. They showed up. They're tired. They're hungry. I'm going to run next door and I'm going to borrow some bread. I've got to feed my friend. And so he knocks on the door of his friend, and this man's already in bed, and his kids are all in bed. And he says, basically, listen, we're already in bed. Leave us alone. Go away. Come tomorrow, and I'll take care of you. And guess what? The Bible says that he did not finally get up and give him what he asked for. You know what? Because he was his friend, he did it because he wanted to go to sleep. He did it because he realized that guy was just going to keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking. Listen, I got to have some bread. I've got to have some bread. I've got to, listen, go away. Come back tomorrow. Well, I've got to have some bread. I can't go back without bread. I've got some folks that are hungry and I have a need. And please, please, would you please just get up? Come on, I know it's late and I know you're already in bed, but please, please. And folks, after a while, it's like, good night. We're not going to get any sleep anyway. Well, folks, listen to me. That might be the way the neighbor treats importunity, but God delights in it. God loves it. God loves it when we just keep coming back, keep coming back. You say, preacher, well, why does God treat us like that? Why doesn't God just the first? Listen, if you want to interview God later on, you want to question him concerning his ways and his will. But I know this. I think God does this because, you know what? First of all, he likes to hear us pray. He likes to hear us pray. And secondly, you know what, folks? Sometimes if we asked and got it the first time, watch this, it wouldn't be within the perfect timing of God's will. And so, you know what? If you have a genuine need, it's within the will of God. Come on. And there's nothing between you and the Lord. And you're spending some closet time, preacher, and I'm serious about this. And you talk about the difference between, you know, maybe casual prayer while we're performing life and intense, effectual, fervent prayer where we're doing nothing but praying, our full focus is on this. And I've given some time to that, and over, just keep praying. Just listen, don't despair, don't give up, don't quit, just keep praying, because God in his time will answer that prayer. And so the prayer of importunity, and then it was a prayer of faith. Now I want to take you back now to the story, and we'll wrap this up First Kings, let's go back to First Kings chapter number 18 and just make a couple of observations here. It was a prayer of faith. It was a prayer of faith. You say, where do you get that, preacher? Well, you know what? Elijah's about to go up and pray. But before he does, we read verse 41. Right. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. He's like, I'm going to go up and pray, and God's going to answer that prayer. You know why I know he's going to answer his prayer? My prayer? Because it's within the will of God. He told me in verse number 1, he's going to send rain. And you know what? There's nothing between me and the Lord. I can lift holy hands up to God. And by the way, you know what? I'm about to practice effectual, fervent prayer. And you know what? If it don't get answered the first time, I'll pray a second time. If it don't happen the second time, I'm going to pray a third time. By the way, if it don't happen the 99th time, I'm going to pray 100th time. And you know what? He just went up there and he got a hold of God and he said, I'm not quitting till this thing's done, Lord, according to your will, according to your will. And so we see this story and verse number 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Now, by the way, you want to, again, well, there's so many things here. Look at what Ahab's doing. Look what Elijah's doing. How much effort did Ahab put into what happened on Mount Carmel? I think he sat over on his little throne and watched the whole thing. He probably was being fed during the entire. You know what, folks? I don't know, but there wasn't. He didn't put into what happened on Mount Carmel. He didn't put the energy and effort that Elijah did. And so right after that, you know what he says? Elijah says in verse 41, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. You know why? Because Ahab was all about his flesh. He was all about his flesh. After what he saw, he should have been on his knees with the children of Israel saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. But you know what? He was just aggravated that he lost the contest and he was hungry. So he's going to go feed his flesh. Now, you compare Ahab to Elijah. You think Elijah was hungry? You think Elijah hadn't put some time in, effort? You don't think he wasn't physically exhausted? And what does Elijah do? Okay, as Ahab went up to eat and drink, verse 42, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Oh, I'm not going to spend any time on it, but there's something about this idea of this kind cometh not but by prayer and by fasting. And I'm just wondering if we want, listen, I want to say this. I wonder if we want Elijah-level answers to prayer with Ahab level saying no to the flesh. And you know what? Elijah, I'm sure he was more hungry than Ahab. And he said, you go on, feed your flesh. But I got some business I need to do with God. And so he cast himself down upon the earth. Think about that, folks, the humility. And it gets down on his knees before God. Put his face between his knees. Think about that. There was a humility to this. And he said to the servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And Elijah had a servant. He said, well, I'm praying. You go check, see if God sent any rain clouds yet. And he said, I'll keep praying. You come back, let me know what happens. He comes back. And what's the answer he said? He said, and he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Folks, sometimes we're going to pray for a while. And you know what we're going to see? Nothing. Right. Nothing. So what are we going to do? Quit? What are we going to do? Quit? Well, you know, what are we going to do? Get bitter at God, blame God because he won't work on our timetable and do what we think he ought to do when we think he ought to do it. I mean, come on, folks. Who's God and who's man? Okay. And so you know what he does? He just goes back to praying. And he said, there's nothing. He said, go again 7 times. And he said, you go check a second time. Come back and tell me if you see anything. So I don't know how far he went. I don't know how far long it took him to come back. But maybe it had been a little while. And the servant comes back. And Elijah looks up. Second time. Did you see anything? There's nothing. You know, folks, think about this. He got 6 there is nothings before he saw a little cloud the size of a man's hand. That's 6 times. Where we prayed, he prayed, and God seemed to be ignoring him. Where God didn't seem to be doing anything. 6 different times he prayed, and like I said, I think if he'd have come back on the 7th, he'd have just prayed again on the 8th and the 9th and the 10th. Hey, how serious we are about this? Now, preacher, I want to see this happen with all my heart. Well, does your prayer life prove it? You know, it's easy to say these things, and it's easy to talk about what we want to see, and it's easy to talk about the need of a miracle. But folks, sitting around the church talking about it is what gets it done. Right. Come on, and preaching on prayer isn't praying. And teaching on prayer isn't praying. And talking about prayer is not praying. Right. You know what? Praying's praying. Yeah. Praying's praying. And prayer of importunity and prayer of faith. You know, he told Ahab, better get up, get something to eat because the rain's about to fall. And then he prays over and over and over. Go again seven times, verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now, I'm going to stop and talk to you a little bit about this. I love this part of the story. I love this part of the story. You know, folks, listen to me. I just asked the Lord to help me. I want to use this as an example in my life. I want to use this as a prayer pattern in my life. You say, preacher, you know what? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I'm praying for rain. And I haven't got rain yet. But you know what? After praying and praying and praying and praying, I haven't seen the rain yet. But guess what I saw the other day? I just saw a little cloud. I just saw a little cloud. And folks, a lot of times that's the way God does. You know what, folks? He may not give you everything you ask, but he'll give you a little sign. Come on, he'll show you a little something. Come on, you'll see a little movement. Come on, you're praying for that person to get saved, and it seems like that they want nothing to do with God, and they never mention God, and they refuse to accept God, and they have no interest in salvation. And every time you bring up the things of the Lord, you know what? All they do is shut you down. But you keep praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden one day you're on the phone talking to them, and all of a sudden they bring up the Lord. Now, did they get saved at that moment? No, but they brought up the Lord. You know what that was? That was a little cloud about the size of a man's hand, you know. And you're praying for, come on, that prodigal to come home. Or you're praying for that person in your life that's away from the Lord. You want them right with God. And you know what? Sometimes you go weeks and sometimes you go months. And sometimes it seems like there's no movement. And then all of a sudden God gives you just a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And you know what? When Elijah saw that, he looked at his servant. Come on, what does he say? He said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. He said, you go interrupt his meal and you tell him, you better get in your chariot and you better head to Jezreel or you're not going to make it home. You know what? And he said that based on what? The sky full of dark clouds and wind and a torrential rain. No, that's coming in the next verse. Verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, this is what I think you ought to leave here with. Preacher, I'm praying over something that's it's intense, it's important, it's hard. It seems like it's borderline impossible, and I prayed about it. Listen, just keep praying until you see that little cloud. And I promise you, if you pray long enough, I'm not saying that the answer will come in a torrential downpour, but sometimes God just gives you that little sign, that little, listen, we need as, come on, people sometimes of weak faith, we need just God to let us see something. And maybe that ought to be your prayer. Lord, listen, I'm not even asking for rain at this point. Could I just see a little cloud? Could I just see a little cloud the size of a man's hand? Can I just get some indication, Lord, that you are hearing me and that you are interested and that you are listening and that there's going to be an answer eventually come? Because we all need sometimes to see that. But then I thought about this. I wrote down this. Lord, help me pray till I see a little cloud. Help me just not to quit praying till I see that little cloud. And Lord, it don't have to be the full answer. I just sometimes, because of my weak faith, sometimes I just need to know that you're doing something. I need to know you're doing something. And then watch this. I wrote this down. Notice how quickly a little cloud turned into black clouds that filled the sky. And boy, it's amazing when God does start getting that thing rolling downhill, how fast it'll roll. And when he starts breaking open somebody's heart, how fast it can break open, and how he begins to slightly turning somebody's will and somebody. And you know what? All of a sudden, how quickly it can turn. Don't underestimate God. Don't underestimate God. Notice how quickly a little cloud turned black clouds into black clouds that filled the sky. Notice how quickly the black clouds that filled the sky unleashed an abundance of rain. And all of a sudden, after 3.5 years, you know what? Can you see Ahab trying to get home in that chariot, driving like a maniac, and the horses are kicking up mud, and the wheels of the chariot are spitting up mud, and he's soaked in a downpour and doesn't even care because finally it rained. And here Elijah, by the way, does he get a chariot ride to Jezreel? That's all right. He don't care at this point. I don't even think he minded running through the rain, because you know what? Every time his foot splashed in a puddle all the way to Jezreel, he was there in his heart saying, God, you know what? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, thank you. Thank you that when you told me to pray, I just by faith did it. And thank you, Lord, as hard as and difficult as it was for the 3.5 years, 3.5 years of suffering through a drought. And all of the times my faith was tested. And now, Lord, there's something. Folks, listen to me. Keep praying, because it's fun running through the rain. Keep praying. One of these days you're going to run home through the rain. Okay? Don't give up. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. Preacher, I haven't seen anything. Well, he didn't for 6 times. And preacher, I think I saw a little something the other day, but it didn't seem like much. Well, just keep praying. Hey, let's water that thing and see what that much might turn into, because I believe that there is still a God in heaven that hears and listens to and answers the prayer of his children. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know, and I don't need to know the needs of every life, and some things, dear God, are things that the church knows, and we pray for each other about, and there's probably in every single life some precious and private things that we carry, those closet prayer requests, God. And Lord, sometimes, dear Lord, we have to pray for weeks, and Lord, there's nothing. And sometimes, Lord, I don't understand all of what you do and how you do it and why you do it, and it's not none of my business. But Lord, sometimes the prayers go for months, and we could have testimony time. And there'd people that would stand up in this auditorium and say, preacher, there were some things that I had to pray about for years. But you know what? I just decided I wasn't going to quit. I wasn't going to give up. I knew I was praying within the will of God. I was lifting up holy hands. Yes, I prayed while I drove, and I prayed sometimes while I worked. But sometimes I just prayed while I prayed. And Lord, the Lord heard it, and the Lord answered it in his time. Lord, encourage our folks, Lord. Encourage our folks, dear God, as they carry the burdens of life. Encourage those, dear Lord, have been praying for a long time. And Lord, I guess I want to kind of intervene and pray maybe a little supplication on their behalf. Lord, some folks, dear God, sometimes they just need to see a little cloud, dear God, just something that reminds them that you're there, and that you're listening, and that you hear, and that you're working behind the scenes. Lord, help us in this matter of prayer, we pray in Jesus' name.